cannot think of anything that'd be creepier than what you've heard tonight for Halloween, and just generally creepier anytime you hear it. Dan in Bakersfield, California said, "What explanation, Art, does conventional science give for EVPs? And have there been any scientifically controlled experiments to replicate the phenomena?" Both are very good questions. And I wonder if either one of you, just before the break, can answer either one of those questions. In other words, what does, when you submit this or talk to scientists, what do they say? And scientists love to replicate things. That's what science is, replication. Has any scientist been able to replicate this?
They really haven't. I do know that in Germany, and Germany is one of the front runners in EVP research right now, and they have, well, actually have been for quite some time. I am aware that there are different scientists there working on some kind of a controlled experiment with EVP. And
Okay.
last I heard, it's still a few months away before, they actually get any kind of results or any data from it.
Well, clearly what we've heard demands an explanation because I sure as heck can't find one. So, all right, we're going to pause. The lines are all full for you two, and we'll see what the audience has to say in a moment. One quick note before we get going on the phones here, and that is Ghost to Ghost coming up on Halloween Eve, and it'll be just us, open lines, and just ghost stories. Only one ghost story per customer. Only the scariest need apply. Give us a short version when you get the screener on that night, and there will be a screener, so that we can separate spirits from each other, as it were. And if you have a short ghost story and you'd like to get it over here to the other side of the world and perhaps hear it read on the air, then please email it to me. The email address is artbell@mindspring.com. That's ARTBELL at mindspring.com. And as long as we're on the subject of contact, there is a way to contact GIS. You have a website, correct?
Yes, it's GhostPix, and that's PIX.com.
GhostPix, PIX.com. That's easy. And up there you have recordings that can be reviewed that go back probably a decade or so, eh?
Yeah, actually a decade. In fact, I'm glad you brought that up. I just now updated the site with the audio played from tonight, so that's on the homepage right now.
Okay. All right. There will be questions, and here they come. Let's go first to Pennsylvania. Lynn in Pennsylvania, you're on the air with the GIS. Good morning.
Hi, Art. How are you?
Fine.
I have a comment and a quick question. On the last one that was played on 19, I think they asked, "Are you by yourself?" And I thought the child said, "I'm never alone." Really?
Okay. It was supposed to be she knows you're alone, or that's what they thought it was. And
To me, it sounded like, "I'm never alone." I mean,
okay.
it came over really clear. I mean, that's what it seemed like they said.
All right.
I wanted to know, when they get a ghost that likes them, like the poor guy that said, "Don't leave," would they ever go back and try to have a conversation with him? I know it would take like a week to do, but if they would ask him, like, say his name, leave the recorder, and then come back and see if he said anything. And if it does, like, try to do that over a period of a week to find out who he is, if there's heaven, why is he here? Have they ever done that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, there's been plenty of times where we've recorded the same voice a couple of times, and we go back and ask for that person to, contact us again. And we will leave a recorder just going, asking specifically for that person to contact us. Rarely does it happen. In fact, one of the things we've noticed is when we go to places and we record a certain voice, the next time we come back, it's almost like they leave because they know that we've recorded them, that they now passed on, and they've suddenly realized, "Oh, you know what? I'm a ghost. I don't need to be here anymore." So rarely do we record the same voice over and over again. But when we do, we certainly do go back and try and keep in contact with that entity.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Puget Sound, Washington. Hi there. You're on the air.
Hi, this is Galadriel. I'm a long, long time listener, Art. Loved your show.
Thank you.
What I'd like to know is if you've ever had like a psychic or someone that is clairaudient go with you and see what they pick up.
If I knew that someone really had that ability legitimately, mm-hmm. I'd have no problem in having somebody like that go.
Yeah, but
so
you haven't.
The trouble is, I don't know of anybody personally that has that ability.
Yeah.
And really, here's our thing is this. I mean, what we're doing is considered paranormal. It's not accepted by science. And all we're trying to do is show some kind of tangible evidence, I guess you could say. I don't want to call it evidence because, you know, you can't really do that. But some kind of tangible thing where people can hear it and go, oh, yeah, well, you know, at least I hear something.
Right.
Our thing is, if we bring in a psychic, that's another paranormal thing that we're bringing into our investigation. So it's almost mm-hmm. like using the paranormal to prove sort of the paranormal, which just doesn't
right.
doesn't really work.
That would work for me.
Well, that's because you're a believer.
That's
you have
true.
Faith.
I wouldn't have a problem if I really knew of somebody that had that ability, that there was just no question about their ability. But since I don't, I would not even want that there.
Very, very interesting. So you're sort of a skeptic.
No, I believe that people have that ability, but I think they're very limited and very few people. And I'd really have to know for sure that 100% that there would be no doubt about that ability for a person to
well,
be with.
You're a skeptic.
We have.
I mean, you really are a skeptic. All right. Well, let's
go ahead.
Okay. Ralph in San Antonio, you're on the air with the GIS. Good morning.
Hello, Art. Hi, my name is Ralph. I'm from San Antonio, Texas.
Right.
Yes, sir. My question was involving that one EVP file that had somebody singing where it sounded like in Polish. What number was that again? 12?
12.
Yeah, 12.
To me, it sounded more like it was in Russian.
Okay, do you speak Russian?
A little bit, not a lot. Just and I even sing in Russian. I know a couple songs, and one of the songs that sounded like it was a song that I know called "Katyusha." It's a love song that was written in World War II.
Okay, I have a question for you, sir. Listening to the show, have you heard almost the whole show or a big part of it?
I beg your pardon?
Have you heard the whole show or a big part of it?
Yes.
What do you think of this?
Well, what do I think of as far as, like, you know, the realistic basis of, you mean, the EVPs and whatnot, you mean?
Yes, huh?
Well, I think it's genuine, but, see, I'm at work right now. My coworker here next to me, we're driving. He thinks y'all are full of it, but I don't side with him. Yeah, in fact, I listen to y'all, and he's asked me, do you believe that stuff, Jimmy? And I'm like, well, yeah. And he's like, well, you're smoking crack. Yeah,
that's
and we're
okay.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, and we're security guards, and my partner here, he's a former police officer with the narcotics division.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so it's funny him. It's funny that
kind
of.
That's all right.
Yeah.
So he's the one who thinks we're on crack?
No, he's the one that thinks I'm on crack.
I see. All right. Well, stay cool. Okay, well, there you go. I guess that's fairly typical of the kind of responses you get. We're going to find out as we continue to sample the audience reaction. And that is what I want, some of the overall reaction to this. In other words, what do you believe? What do you believe of what you're hearing? Randy in Pasadena, California, good morning. You're on the air.
Hi, Manila. I wanted to... comment on the EBT where the gentleman said, this is my room. I wanted to say that right before he said that, it sounds like he's crying, and I wanted to say that it sounds like he's full of joy. It sounded more like it was a joyful experience, and then the little boy that spoke after that was him. It was the same person speaking, but it was speaking when he may have been a little boy when he lived there, but it was being spoken as his childhood.
Do you mean the little boy that says, I didn't eat today?
Yeah, that was, he was reminiscing when he was speaking as to reminisce. He was reminiscing when he was living there as a boy, and that's why it said, I didn't eat today. So it was him sharing the room, saying, this is where I used to live at, and then he remembered and reminisced when he was a child. He didn't have any food or he didn't eat that day, and that it came, and what was heard was his childhood speak. It was his, when he was a boy, it was reminiscing, speaking out loud, if that makes any sense. Also the spot in Utah, it was really funny because, it sounds like to me that your camcord and your microphone, the body's like playing games with you, saying, get out, you know, those haunted movies. And it sounds like it was playing with you, like a little kid.
We're getting a lot of very individual comments on these recordings. I'm hoping to get some more generalized comments about what you think of the whole EVP recording thing. I mean, do you think somebody here is on crack, or do you think there's really something to it? And if so, what do you think it is? Do you think we're actually hearing voices from the other side? Jason in Santa Rosa, California. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Hi, Brendan. Hi, Barbara. Hi.
Hello.
Art.
Hi.
Art Bell. You guys are on with Art Bell. And I also want to say hi to 15 million listeners. Come on. All right. I'll get to my question. My question is, do you think there's a connection between the ETs and what you're hearing? Maybe it's the same frequency. Maybe there's third dimensions. There's fourth dimensions. There's different dimensions. And I don't know if you listen to David Icke or David Wilcock or any of these people that talk about this. That we have reptilians, we have different dimensions. I mean, that's what this is based on, I think. You've seen UFOs through the night vision goggles, right, Art?
No, that's George. I've seen a UFO twice with just my plain old eyes. So, you know, the alien question, I suppose, is legitimate. In other words, could it be non-human?
Right. And that goes back to what we talked about at the beginning of the show is, you know, are these the voices of people that have lived and died and for some reason they're here, or are they some other dimension, or I guess he said aliens? And it's just something that's so hard to be able, and you know, I don't know that you'd actually be able to say for sure one way or the other. I mean, you could ask them like we do and say, you know, did you die here, things like that, and sometimes get a response. But even that, does that mean that that's actually a human being that you know was living at one point?
Yeah, fair enough. To New Mexico brings us Andrew. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Very well.
All right. I got to admit, there's a possibility. I mean, anything is possible, apparently. But I'm not really convinced, because what people are saying is being heard is a voice, but it's impossible. How it cannot be a voice. There's no vocal cords. There's no body, no tissue, no breath, no thoughts. I don't see how it's possible for something to make a noise without being able to vocalize physically.
Well, you're exactly right. In other words, never, or almost never, have these two actually heard out loud with their ears what's being imprinted somehow on these recording devices.
Right, right. It's an extremely good point that you're bringing up, and it's been one of the biggest questions, you know, since EVP research has started. It's been well over 50 years now. I mean, how do these voices, appear on tape and recordings, and when nothing's heard at the time, these, you know, if it's a ghost, it obviously doesn't have, like you said, vocal cords or any physical way of making sound. And we have theories all over the place, from they're manipulating somehow sound in the atmosphere, ambient sound that's already there, and they're using that to basically make their voice. They're manipulating electromagnetic fields. Somehow they're using that to create their voice. I mean, as far as I know, there's just no way right now to tell. The only thing we can say is, and we say this every time, if, you know, you're skeptical about it, but interested in it, you know, it doesn't hurt to do your own recording somewhere. I mean, everybody has something that can record sound. And yes, it may look a little bit crazy for a minute, but, you know, I mean, it doesn't hurt to just try it for yourself.
Yeah, I've been lucky enough once to catch an EVP myself, and it was on my cell phone. It was just the most random thing. I was doing a skit recording to send out to my friends of just some comedy that I was putting out, and it managed to pick up an EVP while I was there. And when I listened to it, because they told me there was a voice in the background, they kind of wondered who it was. So I listened to the recording, and there was something there other than myself, and I didn't believe it. I mean,
and you know, that actually happens more than most people would think. There's actually an EVP on our site of a woman who is recording a greeting message to her husband in Iraq, and she's doing it with her webcam. And there's a voice that comes in right behind her after she says something about, you know, I love you, honey, something like that. And then there's this creepy man's voice behind her that says, say goodbye.
Really? I would be suspicious of anything on a cell phone. He mentioned a cell phone. You know, lines get crossed all the time. And so in the case of what you all are doing, I remember back in the tape days when you were doing it with tape, you would always make sure that you had a brand new tape. Nothing had ever been recorded on it. Here in the digital age, what kind of precaution do you take to ensure that there's nothing on the medium that you're using?
Well, I mean, there really isn't. In my case, I'm using a notebook computer that is specifically just used to record audio.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, I'm patching in a mixing board and then the condenser mic into that. You know, everything is separate files. I break down when we're on an investigation into half-hour increments. You know, we do have some protocols for doing that, but it's certainly not like tape where you had to worry about bleed through from the other side or
mm-hmm.
or anything like that. It's just a completely different thing now.
What would be the main, so you use your computer, you're to the point where you're using what, a laptop?
Yes, I have a notebook computer that's just specifically for recording audio.
Mm-hmm. Do you take only one with you on these investigations, or do you take multiple?
Sometimes we do take two. Barbara still uses a handheld digital recorder. The other members still use handheld digital recorders. I'm just pretty much just doing the straight notebook computer and the condenser mic now.
Okay. Well, that certainly makes sense. But no matter what you have used, from the old recording tape devices to the newer stuff, you always, as long as you have a mic plugged in.
Right.
Which doesn't make any sense because these are not audible voices. But as long as that mic is plugged in, and I'm going to have to think about that. Maybe somebody's got an answer to that one. Why would the mic have to be plugged in? Because otherwise the recording circuit is doing its thing. All right. Half hour break time. GIS would be our guest. I'm Art Bell. This is Ghost. Well, not yet. Soon. Here I am. And we've got the GIS with us, and if ever there's been a creepy show, this is the one. I mean, I'd like to hear from you. What do you think? Is it all a big fake? What else? What other explanation could be possible? You're being faked? No, I don't think so. I've never thought so. There's something to it. I just don't know what. We've got a couple of interesting comments from listeners. Has anyone used two identical recorders, same circuitry, side by side, to see if both pick up the same EVP? What do you say?
We've had five.
You've had as many as five?
Five, yeah. Yeah.
That have all picked up the same EVP?
Yeah. And then what's more interesting is there's times where they don't. they could be side by side and one picks up an EVP, the other one doesn't, and then they can be side by side and they all pick it up.
Wow. Eric in St. Louis says EVPs are probably electromagnetic and are being picked up on the coils of antenna and in microphones via induction. That's certainly possible. I have no answers, but lots of questions like the audience. I'll tell you what, we'll take Juan's call and then do a break. Juan in Baldwin Park, California, you're on the air.
Good morning, guys. How's everyone doing?
Hi.
Good. Hey, yes. Honestly, my opinion to the EVP, I think it has to be realistic. I mean, it has to be some sort of other dimension, some sort of a communication. I mean, this thing can't really just happen. No one could just record someone else's voice. I mean, it seems too real to me. Why? Because I had something similar happen to myself. I mean, it might sound crazy to you guys, but I actually heard a voice calling out my name, and it sounded close to my ear. And I had 7 hours of sleep. I was sober. And this happened like around, 1:30 a.m.? And this happened in Mexico, actually. And, I mean, the recordings that I'm hearing, it just seems too, it can't be fake. I mean, I believe this stuff. It sounds too real. I mean, there has to be some sort of a high dimension. I mean, like you said, I can't really explain it, but it's something that's communicating with us and trying to say something. Oh, I'm gonna get in the cards.
I'm with you all the way, Juan. It may not be a popular view. It sounds like they're coming to get you.
Well,
listen, my friend, thank you.
To that, I was just going to say, to add to that, I mean, how many people, Art, you mentioned this earlier, how many people are out there doing the exact same thing? I mean, it's not just us. There are thousands and thousands all over the world doing it.
Many. And if you think we're smoking crack or whatever, then I suggest you get a recording device and go out and give it a shot yourself. Now, when they do that, when they do go out, let me ask you, do you think that they should, any number of hours they should spend, you want them to go to a quiet place, perhaps even a cemetery, whatever?
I would say at least an hour.
At least an hour. And then come home and carefully review the entire tape. Don't get bored and say, there's nothing here.
And I would listen to it with headphones, because a lot of times the voice is so soft you would not even hear it.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that goes back to what I was saying earlier, that these clips that we're playing on the show tonight, I mean, they're almost kind of spoiling you in a way. You're listening for clips that are that loud. That's not the case. I mean, most of the time they are very whispery and quiet and in the background, and you know, they're normally not this loud at all.
Mm-hmm. Okay, go try it yourself, folks. That's
and invite
advice.
Them to talk with you. You know, just we found that the majority of times when we get EVP, it's when we are talking among each other or with the homeowner or. Very rarely do we get a voice when there is nobody talking.
Okay. All right. To Bob, east of the Rockies somewhere. Hi, Bob.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay.
I listened to both of your guests before on a show you did a couple years ago, and went out and tried it, and, you know, went down in the basement, asked a few questions, nothing. Then tried it, was asking no questions, and started getting all these voices. And they actually were responding to me. I had a couple respond to me. I had one that gave me a date, and then one or two random ones.
Mm-hmm.
And 100% it works. I mean, my house isn't haunted or anything. It works.
No, it does work. Over the years, we've invited people to do this themselves, and I can't tell you the number of emails I've had, you know, from people saying, oh, my God, and then sending me the EVP they recorded in email.
Yeah, and I actually, you know, I did it and put it for my mom. She said, oh, that's weird, whatever. She went down in the basement. We tried it. As I'm explaining it to her, we hear something in the background. You know, and I think it's weird. You know, people go to cemeteries, abandoned buildings, but I think you get better results in places with more electricity stuff going on rather than, you know, dead areas.
You know, and I've actually heard that. I've heard that before, that places that have more of an electrical field around it produces more results. I personally haven't found that, but I have heard plenty of people who have.
Well, it's energy. That's right. For sure. It's energy coming from somewhere. Wichita, Kansas brings Ross. Hi, Ross.
Hi, how are you tonight?
I'm okay.
Good. Nice to talk to you. A couple of things. I think that, you know, you have to ask yourself, what else can it be? And the earlier caller mentioned something about, well, there's no vocal cords or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But people without vocal cords still are able to communicate through another medium. And it's all a matter of moving air, and the fact that you have the electric microphones there, you know, indicates to me that it has something to do with some way they're manipulating the air in order to get their voices heard.
Correct. And that's actually probably, as I mentioned, the most popular theory right mm-hmm. now. It's just actually testing it to find out if that's the case, and that's, I think, where everybody's kind of getting stuck on how to do that.
Yeah. One quick thing, too. On the one recording where you ask where the man with the felt hat is, it sounds to me as if he says, I'm hidden in back.
Oh, hey.
Really?
That works.
Yeah. It really did.
Instead of I hit his back,
yeah,
I'm hidden in back.
I'm hidden in back? Okay. Caller, thank you very much. We're going to review that one right now. We're going to go back to number four, the question about the man wearing the felt hat. Number four, if you can.
Is the man that wears the felt hat here? Will you speak to us?
Guess what? I agree with the caller.
It could be, yes.
You don't suppose there's a body back there, do you?
Yeah, they're very well kept in that place, actually.
I'm hidden in the back. By God, that's what it sounded like. All right. All we can do is move forward. Fort Myers, Florida. Blaine, you're on the air.
Hi, Art.
Hi.
Before I even tell you my little story or whatever, I just wanted to comment on what you said about your cats. And like, I had a cat named Dusty, and I had a lot of other cats too. I think there's like other levels of intelligence and cats, just like in anything else. And like this cat I had named Dusty, I mean, his eyes, he would look at me, and I know he was he was very intelligent. And he knew everything I thought, and he would even say mommy and everything, and just like, and so I do believe everything you said.
It's a consciousness.
It's a consciousness, and he died after 12 years old, and he had cancer, and we'll love him forever. But the other thing that I wanted to say was, is the spirits, maybe they might talk and have these EVPs, but the biggest experience I ever had in my life was that back in 1971, my sister was killed in a car accident. I was 21 and she was 17, and like we shared this room together and everything, and we had like, you know, stereo and everything, and her big thing was the stereo and the records back in 1971. And it was about a week after she had passed away in this fatal car accident and everything, and I was sitting in my room just like crying and everything about it and everything, and nobody, she had the night that she had went out and was playing some records on the stereo and everything, and nobody had ever touched the stereo or the record or anything since she passed away. It was just too painful, and nobody ever touched that. And so all of a sudden this voice came in my head, like, play it. And I looked over to the stereo where me and my sister had twin beds and everything. And there was the record where she had played when she was getting ready to go out that night and everything. And the hand, the whole record was like full of dust where nobody had ever touched it and everything. And the hand was sitting on like the second song. And I thought, oh, my God. And there's this big voice that said, play it, play it. Mm-hmm. And everything. So I said, okay, okay. You know, I was like unresistible. And I played it. And the song was Don't Let It Bring You Down by Neil Young,
mm-hmm.
which is the story of, which recites a car accident that happens at like the wee hours of the morning and everything. Mm-hmm. That's how my sister died, was a fatal car accident in the wee hours of the morning. And
that's some story.
Yeah, it really is. And it recited recited the whole way she died in the car accident at 3 o'clock in the morning and all that.
Actually, that story is worthy of Ghost to Ghost AM, which is coming up on the 31st. In fact, I almost said this is Ghost to Ghost AM and coming into the last break. So don't forget, folks, we are doing ghost stories on the 31st, and it's pure open line stuff. Right now, it's GIS and voices that simply cannot be explained. Let us go to Toronto, Canada, and Connie.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Okay, Connie.
Great. I'm calling about your question about why is it that it only gets recorded if there's a mic, and also in regards to the person who said that he doesn't understand how anybody can talk without, you know, muscle and so forth. The part about the mic is it could be as simple as common sense that the ghosts are actually waiting for a mic to be plugged in, thinking, well, nobody's going to be able to hear or record us without a mic, and therefore they actually wait for it as well.
And that's also possible.
About the you know, needing lips, tongue, muscle. We only use all that for the actual phonetics, the actual sound, but we have the vibration and everything and the vocal cords. And if you look at cancer patients who have had surgery, you know, on the trachea, and they have that box that takes the vibrations, right, and you can hear what they're saying. I mean, mm-hmm. if you take all of that, then they don't actually need muscle tone, because after all the time that they've been dead, they've had time to practice, they've had time to figure out how they could use their energy to make actual, you know, the phonetic sounds with vibration they already have.
Just one question. How did the crying baby figure all that out?
I don't know if it had to figure it out on its own. Maybe it was taught slowly, as it would be if it was alive, to do almost anything else.
Well said. I have no explanation for all of this.
If it's okay, you know, the individual who was talking about needing all the physical aspects to actually speak, does that mean that he's completely pushing out theories or ideas like telepathy, any other way of communicating via, you know, where you can actually hear the person's voice? I mean, it's not recorded because you're the only one hearing it, but still, telepathy and everything else, if you're actually hearing the sounds and the words. Again, this is without a physical being, so I assume that means none of these theories jive with him. Or
okay, well, your reaction, folks?
Well, no, I mean, it's certainly true. I mean, what she's saying makes sense, and that's really, I guess, the only way I could look at it, is it's either some kind of a telepathy thing on the ghost part, or, you know, as we mentioned before, they're somehow manipulating the mic. What she did say that really made sense was not hearing them when the mic isn't plugged in, and they're not speaking because they think they need a mic to speak. That really makes sense to me, and it also goes to the fact that, you know, these are people that have lived and died, because in life they would have known that you had to have a mic plugged in to speak. So in death, they're going to think the same thing.
Another thing, too, is it's just one aspect of the ghost phenomena. Ghost activity and phenomena defies your logic in so many different aspects of how they reveal themselves, and EVP is just one of them.
But it's very compelling.
Logic.
Yeah, but it's very, very compelling compared to so much of what I see and hear about. You know, we can get ghost stories, which we will, and you can see pictures, but I don't know. EVP, I just can't tear a hole in it. Let's go to Arizona and Donna. Wait a minute. Donna, hold on. We've got a break. We've got to do, they tell me I've got to do these, so break it is. We'll be right back. Well, as usual, I blew right past the break. Donna, if you're there, we don't have a lot of time, but you're on the air.
Hi. I would like to know if your guest has ever worked with, it's a new item. It's a voice box where the ghost will actually say the word. It's got like a computer in it, and they'll say, you know, are you here? And this little machine will go, yes.
In other words, it's a voice box enabling the spirits to say something aloud. Of course, there has been some research and some controversy in that area, right, guys?
Yeah, it's basically like Spiricom was.
Right.
Relies upon the same pretty much principle, and no, we haven't used it. You know, there's been some questions about the Spiricom stuff, and that's that's a lot of why we haven't got into it.
Yes, but it's still, regardless of what Spiricom was, whether it was legit or not, it's a good idea. In other words,
oh yes, yeah.
It seems to me that if spirits can manifest a voice on a recorder, then they could indeed use a voice box or something like it to have that sound come out right now, live and in living color. And is there any chance that you two might start looking into that sort of thing at some point?
Yeah, I mean, if I saw enough evidence that it was working and there were people having success, yeah, I certainly wouldn't mind doing it. I mean, it does, you know, just like doing EVP, it doesn't hurt anything to try it. It's just we haven't got into it yet.
Perhaps a voice box connected, you know, with a preamp and a microphone or something to go with you on the investigations you're doing, and who knows, at some point, if you heard a voice actually come out of something like that, and you could actually speak with it in real time. Listen, I want to thank you both for being here tonight. Our time has expired. Fortunately, we haven't yet, but our time this night has. So thank you both.
Thank you, Art.
Thank you, Art.
Good night. It's been creepy. That's the right word. Creepy. The desert is still back there. That's not where I am at the moment. Quite the opposite, near the rainforest and palm trees and out here in the Pacific. So everybody take care. See you on Ghost to Ghost a couple of nights ahead. Till then, I'm Art Bell. Good night.